Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. In our Old Testament reading today, the prophet Isaiah tells us that God is like a man who had a vineyard that was on a very fertile hill. He cleared all the stones away, prepared the ground. He planted the very choicest of grapevines, and he built a watchtower in the very middle of the vineyard. He expected the best of grapes from his vineyard. He expected an abundant harvest. What more could he do? The analogy is that God chose Israel as his vineyard. He planted his people on a fertile hill, the promised land, Jerusalem, where God's word and the prophets fed God's chosen people the best of food, that is, God's word and promises. God even built a temple there, his watchtower, where he dwelled among the people. He expected a great harvest of repentant souls. But, like a man who planted a vineyard, God's vineyard yielded only wild and inferior grapes. People who were unrepentant and idolatrous, worshiping other gods. Was there something wrong with the vineyard? God asked his people to judge. Who and what is the problem here? Was it God who is the problem? No. The problem was with the sinful people of Israel and Judah. So God would remove his protection from them. He would make the land a wasteland where briars and thorns would grow in abundance, and where drought would rule. In terms of the analogy, this meant that sin and unbelief would fester, and there would be an absence of God's word. God expected his people to be a people who loved justice, but they loved bloodshed. He wanted his people to love peace and righteousness, but instead they loved confusion and injustice. Isaiah was one of many prophets whom God sent to the nation of Israel to warn them. The Jews who heard Jesus speak of the vineyard were well acquainted with Isaiah's prophecies about Israel being God's vineyards. So, the leaders of the Jews knew what Jesus was referring to when Jesus began to tell the parable about the master of a house who planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, even dug a wine press because he was expecting a great harvest, even built a tower in it and leased it out to tenants to care for it in his behalf while he went abroad. God would no longer dwell in the temple as he did in Isaiah's time because the temple had been defiled. But the tenants would take care of the temple. And when the harvest season for the grapes came, he sent three of his servants to get his part of the crop. The tenants beat one, killed another, stoned another of his servants, referring to the many prophets whom the Jewish nation beat, stoned, and killed. The gracious and patient master of the house then sent even more servants to collect his part of the crop. But the tenants of the vineyard treated these servants the same way, beating, stoning, killing. Then the master of the house sent his own son, his only son, to collect his part of the crop. And the tenants killed the son, thinking that if they killed the son, since there was no other heir, they might actually gain possession of the vineyard, as Jewish law allowed in those days. I used to think that was an outrageous supposition, but Jewish law allowed for that in those days. If there was no other heir in the family to assume a property, the tenants had a right to it. Jesus was here referring to himself as God's only son, whom the leaders of the Jewish nation would kill, thinking that God's kingdom and his people, the nation of Israel, the promised land, would then be theirs forever. What should the owner of the vineyard do to the tenants for killing his son? So Jesus has asked those whom God put in charge of his people, as we heard in our text, what their own punishment should be. They said the master of the house should give the tenants a miserable death and give the vineyard to other tenants who would give him fruits in due season. They pronounced judgment on themselves. Jesus told the leaders of the Jews that the kingdom of God would be taken from them and given to people who would produce its fruits. God's judgment on his people would come through his Son, Jesus Christ. That judgment would break into pieces those on whom it fell. The chief priest and the Pharisees knew that Jesus was talking about what would happen to them. The kingdom of God would be given to other people, other than the nation of Israel, because they had rejected God's prophets, continuously beating, stoning, and killing them over the centuries. They would even cast God's own son out of his own vineyard. Take him out of the gates and walls of Jerusalem and kill him, thinking that by doing so, they would be in charge of God's vineyard forever, the temple, because this was God's son. And after all, God had no other heirs. But God's patience had come to an end. Judgment had come on the Jewish nation, especially on the leaders, the tenants whom God had put in charge of his vineyard, his chosen people. The time had come for other people to be chosen as members of God's kingdom. All of this happened 3 days before Jesus' crucifixion. Judgment was pronounced on the Jewish leaders. Bad for them. But all of this was good for you and me. As a result of God's judgment against the nation of Israel, dear one, you and I have been called into God's vineyard. He has let his vineyard out to other tenants, other pastors and teachers. He still gives rich food to his choice vines. He plants them directly in the fertile hill that is his word. He waters them with water, joined to his word, in the waters of baptism. He feeds them with food from the watchtower that is his new temple, none other than the body of his son Jesus Christ, who is the new temple, none other than the bread and wine that are the body and blood of his holy table. Dear ones, we are part of the new vineyard because we are part of Christ. He is the vine, and we are the branches. We are part of God's vineyard because we are the body of Christ. But the tenants of the vineyard today, those put in charge, the pastors and leaders of the church, have the same charge today as the tenants of olden days. We are called to be faithful and preach the word of the kingdom. We are called to preach repentance and faith. These are the fruits that God desires. God loves broken and contrite hearts. May the God of heaven and earth continue to bless us here at First Lutheran as we preach the word and properly administer baptism and the Lord's Supper. As evidence of our repentance and faith, let us give the Lord a goodly part of what is all of this is his. May we give the Lord our sacrifices of repentance and faith. And as we labor in our vocations, may we return to him a goodly part in our tithes and offerings. May we be faithful in the giving of our time as we labor in his vineyard. May we be faithful in our worship here, where we offer our prayer, our praise, and our thanksgiving. And from the Lutheran service book, our hymnal number 955, one of the stanzas. Let the vineyards be fruitful, Lord, and fill to the brim our cup of blessing. Gather a harvest from the seeds that were sown, that we may be fed with the bread of life. Gather the hopes and the dreams of all. Unite them with the prayers that we offer today. Grace our table with your presence, and give us a foretaste of the feast to come. Our Lord hears our prayers. He will grant us today a foretaste of the feast to come. Work in your Lord's vineyard today and tomorrow and the day after that. As many days as you have left, work in your Lord's vineyard. Produce fruits of repentance and faith. Confess your sins to God and believe that you're forgiven in the blood of Christ. After all, He gave His only Son for you. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.